I'm going to start off by just saying in my sermon this morning that there is a big attack. There's a huge attack on churches. I don't understand it. There's one of the things that I keep noticing with a lot of people that have grown up in the church and stuff that a lot of them are like going, I don't need church anymore. It's not a part of my life anymore, and I'm a Christian, but I don't need the church. And so there is a big attack that's going on as far as that's concerned, especially in the United States, I think. A lot of people have had some unpleasant experiences and that kind of thing. And we all know that when it comes to people, that in the church, that it includes people. And so we aren't going to be perfect. That's for certain, right? But we know that that's happening. But what I want to say today, and this has a lot to do with my sermon, what I want to say is this, is that our fellowship is one of the most important things that we do. I mean, like we talk about, we're having a fellowship tonight at Gabriel's house. But fellowship is more than that. When we've been talking about fellowship on Sunday nights, one of the things that we've been talking about is this term, koinonia. And that word actually means where we are actually fellowshipping with God and He's fellowshipping with us. And so when we talk about fellowship, it's talking about, in a sense, a circle of where God and mankind and everybody is all in that same circle, fellowshipping together with the Lord. In other words, the Lord's right in the middle of it. So when we talk about this attack that's on the church and that's happening today, it's actually affecting fellowship. And fellowship is something where God's working with people, working with the people in the church and outside of that. So we're going to be taking a look at today, a fresh look at fellowship. A fresh look at it is the name of the sermon this morning. And one of the things that I will say as we get ready to start talking about a fresh look at fellowship is this. When we look at a fresh look at fellowship, we need to understand that we are actually joining. We are actually joining God in His activity. One of the biggest misconceptions of Christianity today is we keep saying that God's going to join us in what we're doing. But it's actually the opposite. We're to be actually joining God in His activity. And so we'll be covering that today. One of the quotes that I want to use today is from Warren Wiersbe, and actually he's a theologian that actually I look at a lot of his notes from time to time. And he said, when we look at Paul, and we look at Paul in reference to me preaching through the book of Philippians today, I've been preaching through the book of Philippians, and today we'll be in Philippians chapter 4, and I'll be finishing up chapter 4, and then we'll be done with it. But when we look at chapter 4, we look at Paul, and Warren Wiersbe says that Paul was not a victim of circumstances, he was a victor over circumstances. I repeat that again. He said Paul was not a victim of circumstances, he was a victor over circumstances. And so this is what we'll be looking at in Philippians chapter 4 today, and we'll look at what fellowship has to do with that and kind of look at it from a fresh look and a fresh perspective today. Now, we all, every last one of us have circumstances that we go through. Every last one of us have particular circumstances that we're going through. Life is difficult sometimes, isn't it? And so we go through some of the challenges and stuff that life gives us. But what I want to say is, during our circumstances, one of the things that God does in our lives is in those circumstances, He actually helps us to grow in those circumstances. Our faith is developed. We can't, without the circumstances, be good laborers in a church. We can't make disciples without circumstances. We can't see the salvation of souls without a little bit of effort going into it. Nothing that we do in the human life is altogether easy, is it? We look at life and we see that it's not easy, but what I want to tell you today is God uses those circumstances in our lives to actually strengthen us and to get us on through life as far as that's concerned. In other words, God joins us in our lives and in our circumstances, He fellowships with us, and because of the fellowship that we have with God, we're able to get through these circumstances. And so we'll be looking at that today. Now, I was talking last week, and I mentioned the fact that we all live in a pillar of fire and cloud environment. We all live in a pillar of fire and cloud environment. And what I mean by that is, like when we look at the nation of Israel, we talked about the fact that they had a pillar of fire and cloud to follow. And when that pillar of fire and Clyde was stationary, they were to stay still. They were to stay where they were at. When it moved, then they would actually move with it. And so we're looking at this today, and I just want to say that that's the way that we live our lives too. When God moves, we move. When God says stay, we stay. In other words, we follow God's lead in the way that we live our lives as a Christian. In other words, we are in fellowship with God in the way that we live our lives and how we go about our lives. Now, I got to just tell you really quickly, it's really strange for me to actually look right here where I'm normally looking and seeing it completely empty today. And then, so anyway, I'm going to have to get used to kind of looking in the different sections here today. And so bear with me. It's kind of got me discombobulated today. When we walk with God and when we're in fellowship with God, God produces fruit in our lives. God produces fruit in our lives as far as that's concerned. And so when we look at that, it's the thing that helps us to get through our life is that fruit that God provides. Thank you, Tom. If you see me looking there, I'm definitely preaching at Tom today. I'm going to step on his toes. The first verse that I want to share this morning is in Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. So if you want to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, or you can just listen and follow along. But if you're taking notes today, the first verse that I'm reading is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians 4:10 says this, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. This is a strange verse, and I kind of want to put some context into this verse here. And this leads to my first point this morning. And my first point this morning is God is involved in our daily life. God is involved in our daily life. And so let's talk a little bit about this verse in verse 10 here, and just kind of touch on that one for just a moment. The first thing that I want to say is God didn't just create us and then forget about us. God didn't just create us and then forget about us. There's a lot of people that think that God created everything and then he just turned us loose. And a lot of people even say that because of the way that they see that life is going, that in life there's a lot of strange things happening. They say, why doesn't God just come down here? As if we're supposed to tell God how things are supposed to work, right? And it doesn't work that way. But one of the things that I want to say to that is there is no way any one of us can say that God just created us and left us alone for two reasons. Reason number one that I will say is because of Jesus Christ. You look at Jesus Christ and see what Jesus Christ has done for us as far as salvation is concerned. God himself came down to this earth in the form of a man and actually paid the price for our sins, died on a cross to pay for our sins. That is total involvement in God in our lives and God being concerned about what's going on in our lives. And so that's the first thing that I want to share with you. But here's another thing. When we talk about being God not just being aloof, is like what we just got through singing, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. God's Spirit guides us. God's Spirit leads us and convicts us in all of those things. God's Holy Spirit is with us everywhere that we go. So God is not aloof and God is not far, far away. God is involved in our lives as far as this is concerned. Now, why do I say this? Well, I say this because when we look at verse 10 there, Paul says that he rejoiced greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You see where he says, revived your concern for me? In other words, he's saying that there was something where there was a concern for him and it went away. Why did it go away? Well, it went away because of the fact that Paul actually, before he wrote this here, was in prison for about 2 years. And then he was moved to Rome. And during that time, the church at Philippi didn't even realize that this was going on. Didn't realize that it was going on. So there was a revival in their concern for him. As the news got out there that Paul was in prison in Rome, they got very concerned for him. But 2 years had passed of this, so Paul says that he appreciates their revived concern for him. Now, I'll just say this, that may seem strange to us, but think about this for a moment. The first thing that I want to say is they didn't have cell phones, did they? I mean, think about it now. When something happens now, we know about it instantaneously. There was no computers, there was no telephones, and there was certainly no mobile phones as far as that was concerned. So news was kind of slow in getting out there. But here's the other thing that I want to say as far as that verse is concerned. God knew, God knew all along, and what Paul is saying in this verse also is even though their concern as human beings for him is concerned, it was a revived concern, but God's concern was always with him. God had never left him alone. And that's an important thing for us to remember also. Sometimes we feel very alone when we're going through some of the circumstances that we go through, and we feel like maybe somebody doesn't really understand what we're going through, or maybe it doesn't have enough concern. But I want to tell you that God always has a concern for us, and God's Spirit is always there with us. And this is one thing that Paul is mentioning here. And so, when we look at this here, one of the things that I want to say is we always use the term that God seems to always arrive just right on time, right? We've heard that saying before, how God just arrives right on time. Well, if I say that God arrives right on time, that means that he's not with us sometimes. But God's Spirit is always with us. But what I mean by God arriving right on time is this, that whenever it seems like God has abandoned us, God will show up at those right times to actually get us through those things. And when I say that there's actually a little bit of providence that goes in that. There's some things that God wants to work in our lives whenever we go through these circumstances. When we go through the circumstances, it's not just like, man, I'm really going through some stuff right now and it really stinks. And I wish God would take it away. God doesn't always just take it away. A lot of times it's those circumstances that we actually grow through. And this is one of the things that Paul is saying is that he is saying that in his circumstance, it's not something that he's looking at God going, God, why is this happening to me? And griping at God like we do sometimes, right? No, we don't gripe at God, right? It's not safe anyway. But what I want to say is that he is saying here that in the circumstance he's in, that God uses that circumstance to actually to help us to grow and to develop us. And so God's fellowship is always with us there as far as that's concerned. And when we look at this here, we see that God is joining him in this activity. Now, put in your notes Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 28. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. We'll stay in Philippians, but I have some verses that kind of go along with what I'm talking about this morning. And one thing that we see in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28 is how God actually does work in our lives, and it's important for us to take a look at this. In verse 26, the Word of God says in Romans 8, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And so, every one of us, if we're honest with each other, we have some weaknesses, don't we? We're not just perfectly strong all of the time. And we are certainly flawed individuals. And so the Word of God tells us that the Spirit of God, actually one of the things that God does is helps us in our weaknesses. Whenever we go through taxing times and difficult circumstances, that we have God's Spirit to help us as far as that's concerned. And then he goes on and says, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. This should give us some encouragement. This verse here should give us some encouragement because it tells us that even though we don't even know what we need, I mean, I like to think that I know what I need, and we all like to think that we've got a good grasp on what we need. Maybe winning the lottery would be something that we would need or something like that, right? But it says here that we don't even know what we need sometimes, but God knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and just the right amount of what we need. And that's what he's saying here, that we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us. And so we have God's Spirit that helps us here. This should give us an encouragement, and not only just encouragement, what I want to go back to here is this is telling us that God fellowships with us. God is in constant fellowship with us, but do you see it also? God is in fellowship with God. We see the Spirit talking to the Father about what we need. And so we see that God is working in our behalf, but not just working in our behalf, but working with us. And we're talking to him, and he's talking to us. He's guiding us. It's an ongoing thing. We are not alone. God didn't just create us and leave us alone. And we're not geared that way. And so fellowship is such an important thing. You know, one of the things that we talk about in our five pillars that we have for this church here is that we talk about evangelism and discipleship and worship and prayer. But the other one is fellowship. And I think a lot of times we look at that word fellowship and we go, yeah, but that's not as important. But when we look at it the way that the Word of God is sharing it with us today, it's equally important. It's equally important. We need God in fellowship with us. We need to be in fellowship with God. We need to be walking with God. That way we hear His Spirit and hear His guidance in our lives. And we have that direction to know that we're not alone and to get through circumstances that are going to be there whether we like it or not. And so it goes on and says, And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What does the Spirit of God do? The Spirit of God isn't like just a genie that's in a bottle and we go, abracadabra, I get my three wishes. But we see here the Spirit of God talks to God about those things that is the will of God for us, the things that would help us in the will of God there. And then verse 28 goes on and says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purposes. And so when we see that verse here, that's probably the one verse that all of us are familiar with, is that we know that those that love God. But it's important for us to hear that for a moment. Look at it in verse 28. It says, and we know for those who love God, all things work together for the good. Now, you might be thinking to yourself right now that the way that my life has gone this past year, I don't know if everything's working for the good. But I want you to know that when we love God and we're serving God, God has this supernatural ability to take a circumstance, a situation that we might not understand, that we might not like, that we might not even be comfortable with, and God's able to take it and make it work for our good. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have that kind of ability. Do you? I don't have that kind of ability. We don't have that kind of ability. But God has that kind of ability. That's why we must be in fellowship with God. This is why we must walk with God. And, dare I say, this is why we need to be a church that's in fellowship with each other and in fellowship with God. In other words, when we come in here, that we're people that are walking in the will of God, because it benefits you, it benefits me, it benefits all of us, and we have God working in what we're doing. I don't want to do anything without God working in it. I mean, what good is it? You say, well, it does a lot of good. I mean, I just get to live my life and do what I want. But this life is fleeting. Not only is it fleeting, I think we can all agree that it's not perfect all of the time. I mean, we watch the news and those kind of things, and we go, what in the world is going on these days, right? Especially the last couple of days, there's some really strange things going on, but we won't go there today. But we'll just keep our eyes on the Word of God and not worry too much about what's going on in the skies. How about that? But you know, fellowship starts with God. Fellowship starts with God. So even us coming together tonight for a Super Bowl party, for pity's sakes, it starts with God, or it's not good fellowship. And so that means that we're people that are walking with God, that God's working in our lives. And as He's working in our lives, that I can be an encouragement to you. And you can be an encouragement to me. And God can be an encouragement to us. And we're working in cahoots with God. And what I want to say is, when God starts to move, that we are joining Him on His move, irrespective of what we're going through. One of the things that we've got to do is we have to look at what God does with our situations, like Romans 8:28 says. We have to look at our situations and know, even in the most difficult times, that God is growing us in those difficult times. But not only is God growing us in those difficult times, that God is there with us. People say, God doesn't seem to care about my problems. Oh, yes, He does. He's right there with us in our problems. He's right there with us. We need Him. And this is one of the things that I will say as a Christian, that we must understand that it's important for us to be in fellowship with God, not only to where we'll stay out of trouble, but also to where we can get through trouble. And so there it is. You know, God has this supernatural ability to do this and work through what's taking place in our lives. God's not up there rubbing His forehead and going, I don't know what to do about this crazy world that's going on down there. I don't know what to do about it. These people that I created, they're going crazy, and they're driving me crazy. He's not doing that. He's not doing that at all. As a matter of fact, He's able to take all of our crazy and make sense of it, because He's God. And He knows what's going on in the world, and He knows what we need in our lives. That's for sure. Here's another verse that I want to share, and I'm going to kind of transition here in this verse here. If you put in your notes, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. I want to talk about Abraham for a moment. And this is not me getting away from the whole topic of the sermon today. This is to give you an example. This is to give us an example of what I mean and what God is saying and what Paul is sharing with us as far as this is concerned. One of the biggest examples that we have is Abraham himself in the book of Genesis. Abraham was somebody that actually trusted God completely. Abraham trusted God completely. God would ask certain things out of Abraham, and we see Abraham in the Word of God, and he's exemplified as the father of our faith and that kind of. He's the one that exemplifies what faith actually looks like in action when we look at the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it tells us that by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're like me and you feel like you need to do something, it's not like, gosh, I just have a feeling, but I have no idea where to go. I have no way to do it. We want to know the details. What's the plan? How am I going to get there? How are we going to do it? How are we going to accomplish it? And yet we look at Abraham here, and he was going to get an inheritance from God. And it says he went out not knowing where he was going. Well, Abraham sounds very disorganized, doesn't he? Except he was depending on God, who is not disorganized. And that's the important thing that I want you to see there. He didn't know where he was going, but God knew where God was taking him to. Abraham was depending on God. And so this is what I'm getting at in being in fellowship with God. It may not make any sense to us at all about our circumstances and how they're going. But when we're depending on God, God will get us through it, and God will get us to where we need to be going. And that's what we get in the picture of Abraham here. It says in verse 9, by faith he went to live in the land of promises in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his children and heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. What is that telling us? That's telling us that Abraham was not concerned about the goings on in his society at that time. We like to think that it's totally crazy now, but honestly, folks, when we look in the Word of God and we look in history, it's always been a little bit crazy. Because we are a fallen group of people. Sin has permeated this world since the fall in the Garden of Eden, and it's just been on a downward spiral through there. And yet God gets his people through it. When we look at in Genesis 22:14, you don't need to turn there. I'm not going to read from there, but I'm just giving you a reference from Genesis 22:14. Abraham named a particular place Jehovah Jireh. Why did he name that place Jehovah Jireh? Because he was in one of his faith journeys, and he was taking his son Isaac, and actually God was requiring a sacrifice, and he was just obeying God, just doing what God told him to do. But we see there that God was going to be the one providing the sacrifice. God wanted Abraham's heart. God had the sacrifice. The sacrifice that we need is Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus, and it's a picture of us putting our trust in Jesus for our salvation. And so when Abraham got there, he called the place Jehovah Jireh. Why did he call the place that? He called the place that because Jireh means God will provide. Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. God will see to it. So here we see that Abraham was saying that he knew if he was obeying God. And he knew if he was in the will of God and doing what God wanted to do. He knew if he was fellowshipping with God, that God would provide. That's what I want to tell you this morning, and this is what Paul was saying. Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 4, and we look at verse 10, he's saying, I'm really glad that the church at Philippi found out that I needed help, that I was in prison and those things. And we know why he was in prison. It wasn't just because he was a bad guy. He was in prison because of the gospel. He was a martyr. And so he was saying that in the meantime, God was with him all along. That he wasn't like, oh my goodness, I'm glad that God finally figured out that I was here and sent me some help. What he's saying is, welcome to the club, church at Philippi. God and I were in fellowship, and now God and Paul and the church at Philippi were in fellowship together. And that's the way that fellowship works. This is the way that fellowship works with us as a church. It starts between you and God, me and God, our individual walk and God, but it also involves all of our walks with God and then coming together and having God work with us in our lives and work in our church life. This is the thing that gives me hope, by the way, for any church that's following the will of God, irrespective of their circumstances, is because we know that when we're walking with God, that God's going to be with us and God's got our back. This leads to my second point this morning, and I've got just 2 points this morning, so this will be my final point this morning, and that is that God will carry us through all the seasons of our lives. God will carry us through all the seasons of our lives. Let's talk about this for a moment. This involves one particular verse that we're all familiar with in Philippians 4:13 that we love to quote, and I got to tell you, if I preach this verse the way that a lot of people preach this verse, we might just fill this place up. But we'd fill it up for the wrong reasons. What do I mean by that? When we look at we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, we like to think that it's like this verse means that I'll do what I need to do because God has made me to be some kind of dynamo, and then God will bless everything because of it. But that's not what that verse is saying. And that's not what Paul is saying. And we're going to talk about that here as we look at this. What I want to say is many people go through life checking boxes in order for their lives to be complete. They have particular boxes that they feel that need to be checked. Okay? And they feel those boxes need to be checked in order for their lives to be successful. This happens, honestly, when people look for churches. We hear people looking and going church hunting because does this church check all the boxes? And I just got to tell you, I don't know what that looks like to have a church that checks all the boxes. A church will actually check all the boxes when all the people are doing what the Lord wants them to be doing that are in that church. And man, I got to tell you, that's a rare thing. It really is. But it can be done. It can be done. But a lot of people go out church hunting looking for those boxes to check, or they go out job hunting. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so he's going to give me the job that I want and those kind of things. Or some people go about finding their spouse that way. What I want to tell you is God is the one who provides these things for us when we're walking with him. He's the one that provides it. I don't need the box check. God will check the box for me. I need to walk with him. I need to trust him. I need to be with him. I need to be in fellowship with him. And I need to be in fellowship with other people. And when I live according to God's will, God will check the boxes. And so it's a different way of thinking than a lot of us like to think. We have ways that we think that things should work. And then God has his own ways of thinking how things should work. Listen to this. We live in a sin-altered world. And it's important for us to never forget that we live in a fallen world. We like to think that God is going to check all the boxes because I'm a Christian and I'll never have any difficult circumstances. I'll never have any problems. But that's not true. We live in a fallen world, and God is rescuing us from a fallen world. When we look at Philippians chapter 4, and we see that Paul is thankful for the church at Philippi coming alongside to help him there, he's actually saying here that he understood that God was actually doing what God does by sending the help that he needed at the time that he needed him. Sometimes it's God himself, and sometimes it's us obeying God, and God uses those things. All things work together for the good. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so we trust God, and rather than fretting over our circumstances, we let God do his box checking as far as that's concerned. Let's look at this a little bit more. Let's carry on in the book of Philippians chapter 4 Drop down to verse 11, and let's read 11 through 13. 11 says, not that I am speaking of being in need. Paul's saying, he's not talking about what he needs. He says, for I have learned, listen to this, I have learned in whatever situation that I am to be content. No, we like to say, I'm not content, I'll never be satisfied. Never will be satisfied. I want to tell you, in your own flesh, you will never be satisfied. It's true. But in God, we can find satisfaction. And this is what Paul is saying. He is learning whatever situation to be content. And I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthened me. Let's talk about those verses for just a moment. Let's look at verse 13. Let's look at 4:13 and see what I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me actually means in context of the Bible, not what we want it to mean. The first thing that I want you to see here, number one, the first thing that I want you to see is it says that Paul learned contentment. You see it there? It says that in verse 11, I have learned in whatsoever situation to be content. Paul learned how to be content. Now, there's a key word in that phrase there. What do you think it is? It's learned. It's learned. The difficult circumstances teach us some things. I used to have a friend that whenever something stupid would happen in his life, he'd go, well, I guess I went to college on that one. And Paul is saying that he learned contentment. And now here's the second one that we see here. We see instructional experience. What do I mean by that? He goes on here and he says, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And so it's instructional experience. Through those things, through those experiences that Paul goes through, he knows that God is with him. And there's in that experience, there's instruction there. There's things for us to learn in those. This is a totally different way of looking at this, isn't it? I mean, we like to just think that, get my genie bottle and rub it, and God gives us what we need. But what we see here is that Paul is saying it doesn't matter what's going on, God's with him, and there's something to be obtained from that. And then the third thing is he was empowered to get through it. He was empowered to get through it. And so when we look at this here, he says, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things God who strengthens me. He can do all things through God who strengthens him. And so the last thing that we hear is that God will give us the strength to get through whatever it is that we need to get through. Now, I got to tell you, as we live our lives, it seems like as we get older and older and older, if we get that opportunity to be old, it seems like we go through more and more things. And a lot of people become more and more and more bitter because of it. And they go, this life is crazy. Where is God? Why isn't God helping me with these things? And I just want you to see it. We need to, number one, learn contentment. Number two, to get the instruction and the experiences that we're going in. And number three, knowing that God's going to give us the ability to get through it. Now, there's those verses in context of the Bible. Now, a lot of people might say, you know what, the way that you just explained that, that aggravates me. That aggravates me because I want God to be my genie. I want God to take all my circumstances that are not proper, take them away. And so, therefore, I don't like the way that you just explained that. That's what it's saying. That's what Paul is saying in this situation. The man is sitting in jail. He's sitting in jail when he says this. Don't tell me that everything's peaches and cream for him there, that everything's working out just fine for him from a worldly standpoint. But Paul's saying, hey, God's got this. How can he say such a thing? He just said exactly how to do it, and it's how we are to do it. That's why he's sharing it with them. That's what he's saying here, as far as that's concerned. You know what? What is going on in this world anyway? Why isn't God giving us what we want? Well, let me just answer that question in a really simple term. God is cleaning up the mess that we've made. And God is in the middle of rescuing his people. He is restoring us back to the kingdom that he intended for it to be in the first place. But he's not forcing anybody to do this. He's not forcing them to do this. He's saying, come alongside me and I will get you through this thing, and the end result will be heaven. And Paul is going, I don't know what's guiding you, but God's guiding me, and I'm going to get through this thing, and God's cleaning up the mess, and God is rescuing me, and I'm okay with it. And that's what he's saying there. Paul is saying that he depended on God to be his rescue. To be his rescue. And so he wasn't worried about it. But he was also saying, I'm glad that the church finally figured out it was there, because it's nice to be cared about. And that's where fellowship is really important. It's important to know that fellowship, that God is always with us, number one. And number two, that we have other people that are there with us. And that we're in this thing together. And that's really important as far as this is concerned. Now, I'm going to take another weird little turn here as we wind this thing down this morning. I'm going to share with you a verse in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 15. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. And I'm going to read to you Revelation 3, 15 through 20. We've talked about this from the standpoint of Paul and how God's working in fellowship with him. But here's the other end of it. The other end of it is that Paul is now in fellowship not only with God, but with the church. So it's a church and Paul and God all in fellowship with each other. And that's an important thing that we see here. And it's an important thing that we see how we get through life. But in Revelation chapter 3, we take a look at a church that had kind of lost their vision as far as this is concerned. Listen to this. It says in Revelation 3, verse 15, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable and poor, blind and naked. He's talking to this church here and he's saying that you think that everything's just fine. But he said, when we think that things are fine, he's saying to this church, because you think everything's fine, you have lost your love for me. You have departed from it. You've become lukewarm. And this is one of the things that we do as a church in fellowship with each other and God, is we forget what we're doing. We forget that it's about discipleship. We forget it's about the salvation of souls. We forget about it's about us building each other up. We forget about it being the fact that we are to show the world what it means to be a Christian. And for the people that say that I don't need the church anymore and those kind of things that I introduced in my introduction this morning, I just want to say this, that it's really important to Jesus. We see it here. He's saying, church, please get warm for me again. And that happens by being in fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. He says, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. It says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. He's saying to this particular church that we're looking at here, he's saying to that church, if you will get yourself right in a relationship with me, I want to be with you. I want to be in fellowship with you. I want to work mightily in your church. I want to empower your church. I want there to be a fire that is building in your church. And he says that you need me, and I love you, and I want to be with you. And I want you to hear the heart of it. God didn't just have the church out there and just say, okay, there it is, and now I wash my hands of it. He's saying, I want to be right there in the middle of it. That's the heart of God right there. He didn't just create us and leave us alone. He wants there to be a fire in there. He wants us to be a church that's on fire for God. He wants to help us. He wants to see a church prosper. He wants to see us to get through this life. And we see this here. You know, the church at Ephesus also, just a few pages over from this here, it says to the church at Ephesus, return to your first love. Be in fellowship with Jesus, church, is what he's saying. Meanwhile, going back to the individual says, or the lost person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior, the lost person says, if I surrender and I'm born again, will I have to give up something? Will I have to give up something? Because I don't want to give up something. I mean, this is the way that the world thinks. They think that I'm going to have to give up something. And this is all that they're concerned about. And what I want to tell you is, in answer to that question, will I have to give up something? Nothing could be further from the truth. What they're going to have to do is they're going to have to fellowship with the God who saved them. They're going to have to fellowship with the God who saved them. It's not just enough to be born again. And it's important that we're born again, because that's how we have eternal life. But being born again also means that we are in fellowship with God, that we are walking with God, and he's walking with us, and that we're walking together. That's what it's saying here, and that's what it's getting at. You not have to give up something. You will have to give up something. You know what it is? Your own boxes that you want to check. Your own boxes that you want to check. And let God check the boxes. Trust him, and he'll get you through this thing and through the circumstances. You know, I went on a missions trip one time, and on that missions trip, I was there for a little while in Panama. And on that missions trip, one of the things that struck me is when I got back to the United States, I got back and I said, oh my goodness gracious, we have more than we ever dreamed of. I mean, that was the thing that struck me when I got back. I should have been moved by the churches that we visited that were in the middle of the jungle and those kind of things, and just said, wow, that was incredible. But I got back to the States and I went, we've got so much. We've got so much that we don't even think that we need God anymore. But you know who didn't care about how much we have when I got back? The people that I left. They didn't know they were missing anything. And what I'm saying is, they were serving God, and they were happy. And Paul says, in whatever state that he's in, he can find himself to be content. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't, as an American, live without. I'm just telling you that we walk with God, and he provides for us. And he helps us, and he's in the middle of our circumstances. And we really are way too worried about it. And way too little worried about our relationship and our fellowship with God. John 15:5 says, and Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We talk about this verse all the time, and what I want to tell you is that we want to accomplish much, and we accomplish much by being in fellowship with Jesus. That's how we accomplish things. In conclusion today, the first thing that I want to say in conclusion is this, that in John chapter 6, we see that Jesus was speaking to large groups of people, and everybody was like, yay, Jesus, hey, he does all the tricks, he makes us all feel good, and that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, Jesus turns around and does something interesting. He starts saying some very difficult things that people weren't too happy about. He started saying some things that I would say that if he kept saying them, that he'd always have the large crowds. He was saying some of the things that if we would say here in the church, we might have an overflow in here today. And I'm not saying that's the only reason why churches are full, by the way. Sometimes churches are full because of the truth. And it's time for that. It's time for that. But what I'm saying here is Jesus started saying some things that Jesus expects. And all of a sudden, the people are going, no, he's not just wanting to heal me. He's not just wanting to give me everything that I want. He's got some other things that he's saying there. And all of a sudden, the crowds went away. And then Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples and said, are you going to leave also? Are you going to leave too? And Peter said something that I'll never forget. When I read it, it sticks with me all of the time. Peter asked the question, where would I go, Lord? You've got the words of life. Where else would we go?
Peter understood the need for fellowship with Jesus.
Peter also understood the need for fellowship with his brothers and sisters. And this is why we are to operate in God's will, for the sake of proper fellowship. Have you ever looked at fellowship this way? Fellowship is supposed to be just food and fun, right? Man, it's more than that. It's us and God and all of us hanging out together. And there's only one way we can do that, and that's to be walking in God's will. So, back in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 4, Paul mentioned a revived concern. And he said, church at Philippi, I'm so glad that you remembered me. And I'm so glad that you showed up. But I want you to know something. Paul also is saying, God never left me. God never left me. Because of fellowship, God brought the attention to the church at Philippi to Paul's situation because of God's moving at the church of Philippi. Fellowship. God, church, people, all of us together in communication with God and each other. So very important. Philippians 4:14 says this, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. They shared in fellowship with God and Paul. And I can kind of look at fellowship kind of like this. I make an investment, and if we make an investment, we like those investments that have dividends, right? We like dividends. Anybody like dividends when you make an investment? I have some investments where they ask the question, what do you want to do with your dividends? Do you want the dividends to go back into your savings and have more money to save? And a lot of times we say, you betcha. And that's what fellowship with God and each other does. It brings forth dividends. Not financially, but in the working of God, in the grand scheme of things. You say, I don't need the church. We don't need each other. And I don't really need God to be checking the boxes for me. Man, there is so much benefit to it that we don't even understand. And that's what is being said here. And so we see this here, and we see that Paul is saying, man, it's great that you were doing this. And then in verse 18, Paul says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We sacrificially give to God in our lives as an offering to God. And a lot of people are really scared about that. Man, you give God everything and it scares them. But what I want you to see here is what Paul is saying. That when we give God everything, God supplies our every need. You didn't hear me say God makes you perfectly healthy, perfectly wealthy, and perfect in every way in this life. You don't hear that. It just says that God will supply what you need. Will God get you through everything? We've heard today that God will get us through everything, no matter what it is, no matter how difficult it seems. God's going to get us through it. Will God provide for a faithful church? Did you hear the question? A faithful church, will God provide for it? The answer is absolutely. Will we see the blessings of God? Well, I will say that we will see the blessings of God when we are in fellowship with the saints and in fellowship with God. We will see the blessings of God. How do I know this? This is exactly what Paul's telling the church at Philippi. Stand with me, if you will.